Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ball is snapped, placed, kicked, and it is no good! No good! It is no good, and the Eagles win!
He missed it!
It is no good.
I told you, the mulligan, you're comfortable. You swing that club and you hit that mulligan with no problem.
He missed it, and the Eagles are heading to New Orleans.
They are headed to New Orleans.
And who knows where Cody Parkey is headed next season.
That was years ago. People remember, it was a game against the Chicago Bears. Poor Cody Parkey, who's actually a pretty good guy. But that was pretty sad, that situation, as it has been since called the double doink. That's what it's, the name of it now. It was, 2019. It wasn't that long ago. January 6th, 2019, Cody Parkey misses the field goal, and Cody Parkey did go a few places after Chicago. It's just, it's amazing. He had some good moments with the Eagles, but we don't have to dwell on that. But that was January 6th of 2019. Today's the 8th, so it's right around that time. There's some other things that happened around this date that we'll take a look at today. But today is supposed to be a really exciting day for Eagles fans. It's Eagles and the Cowboys. But it's not. When you see by probably mid first quarter, you won't see the Eagles and the Cowboys that you know. You'll see Eagles and Cowboys in Eagles and Cowboys uniforms. Now, it's still the Eagles and the Cowboys. It's still a football game for people that go there. It's going to be a little cold tonight. I'm going to be a little cold. I'll deal with it. But I'm trying to figure out, and everybody, this week in Eagles Cowboys week, is trying to figure out what this game means to you, the fans. It's not the same. You know, listen to Cowboys fans. You know, the good thing about the Cowboys right now is they're doing what they do every year. They go into free fall when they get close to the playoffs because the organization is a bunch of chokes. Bunch of mismanaged, miscoached. When's the last time they had a good coach, a good head coach? See, and that's the things we can look at. There's no pressure on Mike McCarthy, who might be one of the five worst coaches in the NFL. And it is so great that the Cowboys hired him as a coach and only in his first year. Think about how lucky the Eagles are. They got the Cowboys with Mike McCarthy as their head coach. Then in the division, they got the New York Giants with that Belichick fraud wannabe, Joe Judge, as their coach. And it looks like it's pretty certain that he's back next year. They'll only have him for one more year. But how lucky are the Eagles? But more so than anything else, you worry about the Cowboys. And they got such a dope and a loser as a head coach who's absolutely clueless. He looks like a deer in the headlights on the sidelines. But how can you make a mistake in a game that really doesn't mean anything to either team? I don't know what you're looking for. And what really do fans want out of this game? As far as the starters playing or not playing, Kelsey's going to start. And he's going to start out of respect And it's really out of respect for Jason Kelce to continue his consecutive game streak going, which will be 122 tonight. And that's good. But if he plays, do the other guys on the offensive line play just so they can be with him for this moment and you play one series? The more I think about it, I don't think the quarterback will play. I don't think Hurts will play. And it'll be Gardner Minshew that will play. And that's okay if you're not going to play him that much. But you got to play some people. The Eagles have not activated any of the other guys that were put on the COVID list, which are starters. Now the COVID list is like, once you go on, you can come off tomorrow, basically, the way it's kind of set up in the NFL. You'll never miss a game because you always get tested the day after the game, and you could always come back 5 days later, which gets you back for the next game. So the NFL doesn't treat COVID seriously enough, but whatever the case, Kelce was on the COVID list. He came back. He was activated in, I guess it was 4 days. He was tested on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He was activated yesterday. But if you count the day he was tested, so that would be the fifth day. But you don't have to get tested again. But it doesn't matter. The NFL wants to play their games. The NFL wants to play, you know, their playoffs. The NFL wants to have all their players in there. And it wouldn't shock me that teams start putting guys on the COVID list, and they've put guys on the COVID list just to get them back for the game because then they don't have to be tested again. But that's not what I really want to get into today. It's just, what does this game mean? What does this game mean? Eagles-Cowboys. It's nice to root against the Cowboys, and it's nice to see them fail. But they are maybe one and done in the playoffs. They are every year. They're a fraud of a real contender to go to the Super Bowl. They're a fraud. They are leaking so much oil. It's all over the place. It is just, they're just an above average team. That's all they are right now. They weren't at the beginning of the year, but who have they beaten this year? But it's only who's on your schedule. But Dak Prescott's becoming the quarterback I thought he was. Just okay. Just a nice quarterback. But it's Eagles-Cowboys. And, man, I just hope that there's some, and there'll be some excitement tonight. There'll be some plays. And I'm sure Merle will talk about the young players out there and talk about that. But you better get your scorecard to figure out who's on the field for this game once you get to the middle or the end of the first quarter. And again, I don't even know how many starters at Dallas Cowboys are going to play. Mike McCarthy this week said he's going to play his starters. Well, he put some of the starters didn't travel. Some of them were put on the COVID list too close to the game so they can't bring them back in time within the 5 days. But I don't know, what do you look for out of this game, and what does this game mean to you? And do you think they should play the starters? At least start them. I don't like playing a football game. I mean, it's a regular season game, and you're playing it like a preseason game. That's the part of it I don't like. It's just, you worry about injuries. You didn't worry about injury anytime. You know, in the first quarter of a playoff game, a player can get injured. And one of the other things that I want to talk about today, a truth serum for you. I'm going to give people out there truth serum. There's a lot of people on WIP, and certainly a lot of callers, after about three or four games, wanted to fire. They buried Nick Sirianni. Wanted to fire. He's gone. He should be gone. He's one and done. He's this. You know, it's just, I can think of specific guys on the station that did that, and they just kind of ignore it now because they overreact. And not just people on WIP, but the people that call in, the fans. So what has changed? It's obviously changed. I can't believe that there's people out there that haven't changed their opinion about Nick Sirianni. What is it? And I want the truth and nothing but the truth. What is it that changed your mind about Nick Sirianni? So we'll talk about that a little bit today. And this nonsense, this total absolute nonsense about signing Antonio Brown, that is a clickbait. That is one of the all-time clickbait moves. Clickbait moves to say, oh, the Eagles should sign Antonio Brown for the intel. Can you imagine that? Just to sign him, it would be ridiculous. And then you don't bring him in. Then what do you sign him for? It's complete farce. If you don't know things about Tampa at this point, after watching if you play Tampa in the playoffs, if you play Tampa, I mean, just give him some money and talk to him. Don't sign him. I wouldn't even give him money. The guy's a lunatic. I have a video I did when he was with a bunch of people at the Super Bowl in Miami on Friday or Saturday night before the game. He's out there. Looks like he was wasted in some way. I don't know. Maybe that's just who he is. And he gets off in his $400,000 car and drives off after BSing with the people. He was suspended at the time. But I don't want any parts. Even just to get intel. If you can't scout Tampa, assuming that would be the team you play in the playoffs, at this point, then you're not doing a good enough job scouting. And your players, I mean, the quarterback, and Tom Brady looks like he's getting old. And he's coming back next year. He's already told people he and Gronk are coming back next year. Tom Brady can't leave. But it was also nice to see or hear Antonio Brown rip Tom Brady. Tom Brady's the reason he got there. And Tom Brady just wants players around him. And I understand that. You think Bruce Arians really wanted to bring in Antonio Brown to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Not hardly. So we'll talk about that. Aaron Rodgers, again, he did something stupid after somebody else did something stupid. And two stupids aren't good. Mark Lawrence will be with us to take a look. Take a look at this weekend. This weekend, it's just, you really got to be careful. You can have some fun if you're going to bet the games, but you really got to be careful because you just don't know what teams are into it, what teams are playing, who they're playing. You kind of know before the game, but you don't, other than the quarterback, you really don't know. And our question today for the $100 gift certificate for DeBruno Brothers, since I had been on the last couple of weeks because it was Christmas Day and New Year's Day, we'll deal with it now. And I think it's pretty simple. The question's pretty simple. The best sports moment of 2021. The best sports moment of 2021. Moment. It can be a play. It can be a moment. It can be, you can expand it a little bit. If there's actual moment, which really isn't a play, we can deal with that as well. So that's the question today for the DeBruno Brothers $100 gift certificate. And I hope you enjoyed DeBruno Brothers during the holidays because there's nothing but great, great, great food. I stopped in a couple of times over the last few weeks. Every time I stop in, I want this. But you can check it all out, whether it's their catering. And I know a lot of people use their catering over the holidays because it is just so good. You can check it all out at DeBruno.com and check it out at any one of their six locations. So you got the question. You know what? Let me take a call before we go to take care of some business, and let's go to Clay. Clay, you're on WIP.
King, good morning.
Morning.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
You know what I'm talking about. I surprised my season ticket partner with a cameo by the King. It was awesome. You didn't mail it in, pal. You did a great job. It was so great.
Okay, yeah.
I wanted to give it to him.
So you were, now I remember the name. Yeah, it's just, I did those cameo things. Yeah, I'm like, some people probably do a 30 or 40 second thing. That's all they ask you to do. But I just, whatever. And you just want to have people enjoy it, whoever got it.
It was awesome. It was awesome. I was saving it for the tailgate. The game got moved. They came down. I threw it on the big screen. It was great. It was really, we got a kick out of it. So, my sports moment is the last time the Eagles got on an airplane. because everybody said about the schedule, you know, the last time they get on an airplane is a trip to Denver, and after that, we should be able to have, you know, finish 5-2 or 6-2 or whatever it was.
Well, here's the one thing I said at the beginning of the year. When you see the over-under, you try to figure out, okay, and, you know, where are they as a team? How many are they going to win? And though I said this, I always look at the schedule, and I look at the travel at the end of the season. That's things I've been doing, you know, from when people bet games, that kind of goes into some of the things that you do when you bet. And when I looked at it, I said, they don't get on a plane basically the last half of the season, and that includes the bye week, which was late, but that's all part of it. And that is an advantage for the Eagles. Now, could that help in the playoffs? Sure. Tampa is a shorter trip than L.A., so that could help. And a shorter trip than Arizona. I think Arizona is far-fetched to play them. It's either L.A. or Tampa, and most likely it's probably going to be Tampa. But it's a short plane flight, too. So all that's an advantage. But I said at the beginning of the year, I didn't wait till second half of the season. I mean, I kind of identified that when you bet on an over-under for a team.
That first half in Denver, that's when we looked and said, you know what, we might have something here. And the last time we played number 12 in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, that was that's a different kind of mentality. Here's the thing you have to remember at that point. They still had 500 and some yards on offense. It was Nick Foles who had one of the best, if not the best game for a quarterback in Super Bowl history, because the interception he threw wasn't his fault. It bounced out of it. It bounced out of Alshon's hands.
Yeah.
So he had one of the greatest, if not the greatest game for a quarterback in Super Bowl history. But that was the Super Bowl. It was a totally different situation. So I can't compare, the last time they played. And Brady was different then than he is now. You can beat Tom Brady or you can beat the Rams with Matthew Stafford. They can win. They're on the road. The second game when you play a playoff game on the road is the tougher one, because now you're on the road 2 weeks in a row. And that's tough in the playoffs to keep on playing on the road. And that's what a wild card team is. But if that's your sports moment, that's obviously that. I don't even know where that fits in.
I'm on the spot here.
Did you want to talk about Hurts?
Here's what I want to say. I think he has proven himself this season from, you know, to use Nick's analogy, from the little flower that sprouted in week one to week 17. I think he's a maturing, blooming plant that we can put roots down with and keep.
And everybody made fun of Nick Sirianni's one of his conversations in his team meetings, which was a really great team meeting for him. And it wasn't about a flower. Everybody made fun of that. And they're 7-2 since, but that has nothing to do with it either. It's the schedule that's part of that. But no, it's just, you just try to get better, and the team has gotten better, and the coach has gotten better. But people just people gave up on
better.
The coach too soon.
So. Absolutely.
All right, hey Clay, Happy New Year. I appreciate the call, man. Thanks. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. I just want to give a shout out to the Borgata. Still an unbelievable, unbelievable place. We are not there this morning. There's different situations going on so we didn't do the show there this morning. We'll let you know whether we'll be there next week. But a shout out to them. And I know there's going to be a lot of people, even with a lot of these games not meaning anything, still going to be a lot of people at the sports book. And of course, Monday night, there'll be a lot of people there for the national championship game. And I'm sure that'll be a game that is heavily bet as well. All right, 215-592-9494. You come back. I'm just going to mention we have lost somebody. One of our people. And I'm going to mention that, and we'll deal with the week. And I really want the truth, the nothing but the truth, on the people that bailed out on Sirianni and what changed your mind. 215-592-9494. 8894. I'm Howard Eskin. WIP Sports Time is now 8:19.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mike McCarthy. What a dope. The Cowboys, they always screw things up. That's why they're not going to win a Super Bowl. They're clearly not going to win a Super Bowl. They have good players, and they just make everything they do a mess. It is a mess. That's why it's so much fun to root against the Cowboys and all those dopey Cowboys fans in this area. It truly is unbelievable. But before we get back to the phones, I got to send my condolences. And people, I'm sure, remember the name, remember the person, Bill from Mayfair. Bill from Mayfair passed away on New Year's Eve. I heard it over the last couple of days. I was told by a couple of people. New Year's Eve, he passed away. People remember Bill from Mayfair. And I want to send my condolences to his family. It's always terrible when we lose somebody that's part of the fiber of WIP. And there's been, it happens with people. You remember some that you've lost, but again, my condolences to the family of Bill from Mayfair, who shockingly passed away on New Year's Eve. So I wanted to make sure that I gave a shout out to the family and wished my best and hope they're hanging in there. And when something like that suddenly happens, it's always a tough thing to lose somebody, but that's really a tough thing when it's unexpected. All right, let's go to John. John, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
I remember hearing that guy call in, and he is a good guy. I'm originally from that area, but I think I may know him. But it's a shame when there's a lot of really good, loyal fans in this city, and he was one of them.
Yep.
I just wanted to bring up the Eagles real quick, and I also wanted to thank you. I got my DeBruno stuff for the holidays, and it was just fantastic.
Cool.
I got my neighbor a gift from it, and it was really just fantastic.
Okay, so great. Now, you can't help but enjoy the stuff that comes from DeBruno Bros.
I mean, they had this salami in there. It was just...
It's great.
You take one bite out of it, and it's like you wouldn't believe the flavors. It's just It's awesome. Yeah, see, I'm Italian by name, but I know all the Italian foods. So, anyhow, we were talking about Eagles on who they're going to start. Now, I heard you say that you don't think that they should start Hurts.
You know, I don't know that they shouldn't. I don't think they will.
You don't? Okay, you don't think they will. Now, do you think that...
See, I want players to... I want starters to play. It's a regular season game. I'm so tired of this. Well, the game doesn't mean anything, so we'll sit everybody. Well, yeah. You got to worry about him getting hurt.
And how about Jason Kelce? Are we going to start him for the streak?
Yeah, I've mentioned that. I mentioned that the other day. He's going to start to continue his streak. Tonight would be out of respect. I mean, how can you not? How can you sit him and break the streak? And tonight will be a 122nd straight game. How can you sit him and break the streak because you're just sitting everybody? It's ridiculous.
So
now, he won't play that much. What's that?
Does the rest of the offensive line start, too?
I'm not sure. We'll find out tonight. But I would think that they'd want to start along with him to celebrate that. And, you know, they'll play maybe one series. And after one series, you know, in baseball, you'd put them up there and then you take them out to get an ovation, but you don't realize when are you going to, if you really want to make it dramatic, and it's not breaking a record, but it's just continuing something. If you really want to make it dramatic, you call a timeout and you take him out of the game by himself and then put it in there. That would really be dramatic. And then the fans could give him an ovation. If that's what you're going to do, that wouldn't be a bad idea either.
I wanted to say to you, double doink, right?
Yep.
You know, double doink is the name of a racehorse that runs up at parks. The next time you see Dick Girardi, ask him, he'll tell you. And then there's another one up there called, his name is Wentz.
Yeah,
anyhow, and then there's another one called Fourth and Spike.
Well, there's names of horses. You know, there's one that's got something close to my name.
Yeah,
but that's all right. We don't have to go through all the names of the horses at parks.
They ran down at Laurel Park, that one.
But it doesn't matter. because people don't even go to these places anymore. They bet them, you know, at the sports books.
You bet them right online.
The
so
turf
anyhow,
clubs, yeah, right.
I drank the True Serum, okay?
All right.
And I never had a problem with Sirianni from the beginning. And you got to remember one thing. I'm old school. I'm almost as old as you. So I remember, and I told these guys during the week when they come on midday, that I could name at least 5 Eagles coaches that were worse than Sirianni after the 2-5 start we had this
yep.
year.
Yep.
And I said, there's at least 5, and I don't want to name them because it hurts my head and I get a headache when I name them and I remember them. So,
the problem with people is they have no patience.
That's it. There's no, and especially these younger guys, and I'm getting to that. I think, and I don't want to, I love WIP. I mean, I listen to your show loyally every week. I don't call in all the time, but I always listen, and I listen to one other program on here during the week, and that's it. I got to say, it's getting kind of repetitive that all these guys, they have no patience, and they also use words that are passed down to them from the older guys like you and Ray and maybe like this.
Well, whatever the case may be, so what were your thoughts about Sirianni?
Sirianni? I love Sirianni. I never had anything bad about Sirianni because even when he starts to get up there and talk about Flowers, there's way worse press conferences.
And it really wasn't about the Flowers.
It
was about
Detroit.
It was about roots and growing a base and, you know, those kind of things. It was a media exaggeration of what his meeting was like. And I talked to the players in that meeting, and it was just energetic. He had their attention. That wasn't the only thing out of the meeting, but yeah, people just didn't have patience about Sirianni. What's your sports moment?
Well, my sports moment, I really can't qualify for because I've already won, but I'll put one out, and you ain't going to like it anyway because you don't like this guy. I think the best sports moment of the year was Bryce Harper being named MVP.
No, I do like the guy. I just don't think he was the. I don't think he was the MVP. I think Austin Riley was the MVP, but that's just me.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I don't like the guy. I just didn't think when you don't win anything, and the Braves. I mean, how can you not take somebody from the Braves with what they accomplished? But I don't know. That was a moment. That's not really a moment. He was named that, but we kind of knew at the end. But I appreciate the call. Thanks for the call, John. Take care. Yeah, that's not. I wouldn't think that would be a sports moment anyway. All right, let's go to Dennis. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Howard, you're right. That's not a sports moment, and I agree with you. It should have come from Atlanta, but that's another story.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean I don't like the guy. I think Bryce Harper's a good guy, and he had a really good year. I mean, there's no question.
He did. Hey, Nick Sirianni and the Eagle game tonight. The Eagle game, I actually could have had 2 tickets to go to the game. And I passed on them for two reasons. One, if it were a Sunday afternoon, I may have gone. But a Saturday night, okay, home till after midnight, and you're going to freeze your butt off, and it's a meaningless game. So I passed on it.
Well, but this Dallas game doesn't obviously mean anything close to what it would normally mean for you.
Right. You going to be rocking the fur coat tonight?
Yes, I will. It's going to be cold out there tonight, boy.
It's going to be cold. Like in the upper teens with wind. So
I try to get myself prepared. I went out after 8 o'clock last night and did some walking just to get my body used to how cold it's going to be, tonight.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, a lot of the hosts on this radio show, you know, after 5 or 6 games wanted this, you know, Nick Sirianni gone. And they're right.
All right. So you were on board with Nick Sirianni?
I was ambivalent. I wasn't firing him, and I wasn't praising him. I was just saying, let's give him a little more time. So I was sort of in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you can't make a judgment after 6 games. I mean, I don't think you can.
No, but, you know, there's not people that will admit it now. People were so impatient, you know, and the schedule was so front-loaded. New coach, had to learn players. It was so many things different about that. I mean, people just overreacted. They overreacted. And he's actually, well, it's not much of a compliment. He's better than Mike McCarthy. He's better than the Cowboys coach because Mike McCarthy's an idiot. But he's better than McCarthy. But I think he's a good coach. Now, how good a coach he's going to be,
we'll
got to give that time too. I think he's a good coach.
And another thing, I don't want to see or hear about Antonio Brown.
No, that was such a clickbait move. That was Elliott
that
threw that out there. He's one of the guys that threw that.
Moron.
Give him a break.
I don't know if he has mental issues. I'm not a doctor, but his actions say that he's not playing.
He's just not a good guy. He's just not a good guy.
And he was a good talent back in Pittsburgh, but right now, I don't want him on my team. I don't even want him in my team.
Well, he was a very talented player in Pittsburgh, but ever since when teams just keep on getting rid of him. And the only reason that he was brought into Tampa is Brady. And then he bailed on Brady, too. But it doesn't matter. He's just a bad guy.
Because he has no more income.
Well, but he still has some money. He hasn't spent it all. So, all right, what's your sports moment of 2021?
I'll pass because I won about 3 or 4 months ago. So let somebody else win.
Okay. All right. Hey, Dennis, have a happy new year. For the DeBruno Brothers $100 gift certificate, best sports moment. Now, that can be a play or a moment, which may not be a play. So we'll deal with that. I see. We'll get to we'll get back to the phones. Chuck, Tom, Josh. And I want to deal with Aaron Rodgers, too, when we come back. He is the MVP. I mean, it's not even close. It's not even close. He's the MVP of the NFL. But he just can't help himself either. It just, you get turned off with some of the things. You get turned off with some of the things that he does. And I think he's been the best quarterback in the NFL for years. And it was not Tom Brady. If I wanted a quarterback for one game, we'll talk about it when we come back. If I wanted a quarterback for one game, and there's more moments around this date in history that we're going to revisit when we come back. And Mark Lawrence will join us at about 9:40 to take a look at this weekend football. Difficult, but we'll take a look at it. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. Howard Eskin here. And shout out to the Borgata. We're not there today, but always sensational. I miss you guys. Hopefully, if everything gets taken care of, the things that have to get taken care of. And, you know, it's the world we live in now, too, which is part of it. Let's face reality. But it's still a great place, and they try to do everything to keep things safe, as well as being the finest hotel casino in Atlantic City. And the sports book's great, too. 215-592-9494. I'm Howard Eskin, WIP Sports Time, here on a Saturday morning is 8:37.
Here it is, and it's 4th and 26. McNabb is back. He's looking. He is firing, and it is caught by Freddie Mitchell, short of the first. I don't know, did he get it? Does he have a first down? He does. He does have a first down. He's across midfield, and he's into Packer territory at the 46.
What an amazing moment. You know, all these moments, the fact that I was there for these and remember them, one of the reasons you remember them, you remember it, but being there, 4th and 26, I don't know if that he actually got it because he caught it and then it was just a slight bobble and he was just short. But at that point, the Green Bay Packers deserve to get the first to lose the game because the Eagles got the first down on that play by letting them even get close to that. Freddie Mitchell's defining moment, January 11th, 2004. That was the 2003 season. And they beat the Packers, and then they lost the following week to Carolina. But that was a big moment for Freddie Mitchell. It kind of made Freddie Mitchell more than really than he was. It's too bad because Freddie Mitchell could have been a nice, productive receiver, but he got too full of himself, and that was really kind of part of the problem. All right, let's go back to the phones. Chuck, you're on WIP. Chuck, good morning.
Yo, Howard, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, well, now we're pals, huh?
Hey, listen, let me tell you, show, we always been pals, but I never said nothing bad.
You're cheating on the afternoon show coming on here in the morning.
What do you mean?
I thought you're like an exclusive caller to the afternoon show.
Yeah, I am. But listen, I was seeing you go way back. I've been listening to you for a very long time. I feel like I can call your show whenever I want to.
Absolutely.
It's a special call. You hear me?
Okay. Sure, if you say so.
Hey, listen. Let me tell you something about the Eagles, right? I want to talk about the Eagles, and I want to get to the Sixers for a second.
Sure.
If you allow me to.
Sure.
The Eagles are going to shock the world. You know what I mean? And I'm proud of Nick Sirianni. I'm proud of Jalen Hurts. I think the world of Jalen Hurts. We don't know what we have here with Jalen Hurts. I don't think we know it yet. This guy is going to be a stud. He's only in his second year, and he's growing right before our eyes. And I tell you like this, I don't care if we play Tampa Bay. I think we'll beat them any day of the week right now the way we play football. What do you think, Howard?
All right, well, so let me get back to Sirianni. Were you always on board, or did you bail like a lot of the people did after the first three or four games?
Well, I didn't bail, Howard. I didn't bail. I tried to say give a guy a chance. He's a rookie coach. But I did question some of the things he was doing. But I think that a lot of those things came from up top. But, you know, I'm not questioning Howie or Jeffrey Lurie, but I think a lot of those things, him trying to throw the ball, you know what I mean, and do all those things with Jalen that he's not really comfortable with now. Instead of trying to fit the offense around Jalen, I think he was trying to fit. You know,
I think people overstate that the Eagles were throwing the ball because of what Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman wanted. Nick Sirianni coaches the game with his coaches the way he wants to coach the game. Does he know the feeling that the Eagles above him like the pass? Well, reality tells you, you pass to get a lead and you run to keep the lead. And that's been the mentality of the NFL. And I think people overstated, well, Nick Sirianni's doing that because that's what Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman want. That was totally overstated. Now, did he have to learn his players? The other thing you got to remember, people say, well, you got to run the ball. Can you the flux of the offensive line, the injuries, yeah, the people in and out, that had to have something to do with it as well.
Well, it did, but listen, here's the thing, right? If he would have started doing that earlier, we'd probably be sitting at a 9-5 record right now.
Well, I don't know about that because I don't know if the offensive line was good enough with the changes, with injuries and guys getting hurt. It didn't stabilize even with backup players in there, which now are going to be starters. I mean, Landon Dickerson's going to be a starter, but he was a rookie. He was a rookie, and he came off an injury, and he didn't play. I don't think he played at all in the preseason, so he didn't play. So Chuck, you overreacted a little bit too. With you got to do this, and you got to do that.
Nothing. I told you already. This guy, Nick Sirianni, I think I was on board with him. But some of the things I questioned. Now, the guy I'm questioning now going into the playoffs that I think is going to be our Achilles heel is Jonathan Gannon. He has to be a little bit more aggressive, Howard. He just has to, man. You can't sit back there and play the defense you play against a guy like Tom Brady.
Well, Tom Brady, you can't blitz Tom Brady because he knows how to get rid of the ball. So people say, you got to blitz,
You don't have nobody no more down there. We should be able to have a little bit of an aggressive game plan.
He's going to get – I tell you what, you want to leave people – if you want to try to get the rush from your front four, and if you do that and you have more people in coverage, turnovers are the whole game, especially when you get to the playoffs. And by having more people in coverage, you get turnovers. I'm not going to question him. You, Chuck, me, and anybody that calls in is not smarter than Jonathan Gannon. I think he's a good coach.
Gannon is overrated. I'm not going to say it now, but I tell you, we lose in the playoffs, it's going to be because of him.
Let's see what happens when they get more. Real quick, Howard.
I want to talk about this jackass, Daryl Morey, right? This is what I want to talk about him. Sixers, right? We're in a 6-game winning streak right now, right?
Yeah, against nobody's.
Yeah, I know. But listen. Is the job of a GM is to get your team to be the best they can be, right? Or to sit there and wait for somebody else's problem to open up, then make a trade. Daryl Morey is an overrated moron. Yeah, that's what I called him.
Well, I don't think he's a moron. I think he's a fraud. I think he's a fraud because he's never done anything really significant as a president or general manager of a basketball team. Houston, he left them in a shambles. He takes credit years and years ago for James Harden, but they're the only team that had cap room to be able to get him when Oklahoma City traded him. That's his only thing he's going to hang his hat on. He made that great George Hill trade last year at the deadline. Don't forget about that.
Wow. Really great trade, right? But I tell you like this, right? I don't think the Sixers are going to ever make the finals with Joel Embiid as our best player. And I say that to say this, right? He's not saying he's not a good player. He's a good player. He is. But, first of all, we're playing in the league right now, Howard, where centers are obsolete. You know what I mean? We are playing in the league. We need good wing and point guards in this league to actually go out and do something.
You got to play with more athletic centers that can run the floor. He's going to score points against these teams because these teams stink. But when it comes down to the play, it's the same thing with this team. And Daryl Morey, he's not a moron because he's a smart guy. He's a nice guy. He's a smart guy. However, he's got no guts. He's playing chicken with this Ben Simmons thing, which is totally ridiculous. He overvalues his players. I've heard that from people in the NBA. And he ought to be taken out in handcuffs for stealing money from the Sixers. $12 million a year. $12 million a year. And then you got another guy, his head coach, Glenn Rivers, who is not a good head coach either. The team is not in a good place right now. So, Chuck, let me ask you this question, Chuck. Do you like the Sixers?
I don't like them. I don't like watching them. They are not relatable. They're not personable. I hate this team. Play as simple as that, and I'm a Sixers fan. I relate to teams like the 2001 Sixers. They had the fan base.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is hard to relate to this team, and the NBA is a terrible, terrible product. It's an awful product. All right, Chuck, what's your biggest sports moment of 2021?
When Ben Simmons didn't dump that ball on a 6-foot guard, and that made me realize how much of a waste of human life.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Chuck. I'm going to register you for the Bruno Brothers $100 gift certificate, even though that's kind of a bad moment. It is a memorable moment when he didn't dunk the basketball. All right, Chuck. Hey, have a happy new year, Chuck.
He's a treasure.
He is a treasure. Glenn Rivers. Yeah, is he a treasure now, Glenn? Is he a treasure now? What a joke. What an absolute joke. All right, let's go to Tom. Tom, who's in Alabama. Tom. What's happening?
Morning, Howard. Thank you for taking the call, my friends. Certainly hope you're doing well.
Yep.
Hey, you know, as far as that deal with the Sixers, I mean, I'm not even going to say, but it's been botched by Daryl Morey, $12 million a year, truly. I wanted to save a call, Antonio Brown, for you, and I'm not going to stay on him for just for a minute. Let me go ahead and get it out. First of all, I'll stake my reputation as a caller when I say anybody says Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens had too much class to ever even think about pulling a stunt like that. And he had too much integrity for the league, the profession in which he chose and which he was compensated for. And, you know, as far as Roger Goodell, his hands are tied here, but I feel like if it would have been back in the day when Pete Rozelle was the commissioner and it wasn't about the medal or psycho, I should say, for him, you know, he would have been, he should be blackballed either way, and that's it.
Well, yeah, I think it's illegal to blackball him, but if a team signs him again, it would be the most ridiculous, stupid, asinine thing I could think a team would ever do. He's done. He's got to be done. You know, you can't just look at talent and ability. And he's not as talented as he used to be. He's still got ability. But the negatives so far outweigh any positive of him being on a football team. Because you know he's going to bail and he's going to go crazy on you at one point or another.
Yeah, he's going to bail on the team that stuck their neck out and got him a Super Bowl ring when the best quarterback ever says, come on over to my house and all. And then he's going to dog the dude on the way out. That dude's dead to me, man.
He's not a good guy. He's clearly not a good guy. So do you care about this game tonight, Tom?
Well, you know, of course I care because it's the Dallas Cowboys and we got humiliated in week 3. But if I'm Sirianni and a rookie first-year head coach that was at 2-5 and the wheels coming off, driving on me with a tablespoon of oil, I mean, I would want to say to my boss, you know, 10 wins instead of 9 sounds better, to my fan base, to the free agency crop that's going to be available. I don't think it's going to affect our pick, and you know, I just don't see. It's a shame, especially for the people that paid their hard-earned money for tickets and gas and parking and everything else. That I would field a team that starts. Okay, if they get ahead, put second, third. I don't care if you put the practice squad in it, but the Philadelphia Eagles need to win tonight, and there's no way around it, if you ask me.
All right, Tom. Hey, I appreciate. I think they should play the starters too. But again, I'm not the coach. I'm not the organization. It's a regular season game, and you should play their players. I'm not worried about injury. You know, that's, you play the game. If it happens, it happens. But and maybe you don't play them the whole game. But I would still start. I would start the starters. Hey, Tom, I appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in, man. Have a great weekend and a happy new year. 215-592-9494. What does this game mean to you tonight, Eagles, Cowboys? Do you want to see the starters play? And truth serum, who bailed out on Nick Sirianni, and what, I'm assuming you changed your mind. What changed your mind? And I got to address Aaron Rodgers here when we come back as well. 215-592-9494. Howard Eskin here. WIP Sports Time is now 8:56. 94 WIP on a Saturday morning. Saturday morning, and we're talking about Eagles Cowboys tonight. Did the NFL really have to change this game to Saturday night? Nobody wants it except ESPN. The hell with them. But it's all about television. That's the whole thing. It's all about television. All right. Eagles, Cowboys. Yeah, that's tonight. The game will be played. And it's still Eagles, Cowboys, but it just doesn't have the same luster. It just doesn't, it's not the same when the game doesn't mean anything. You know, Eagles fans obviously want the Eagles to win. I don't know that it makes any difference who you play in the first round. It's a shorter trip if you go to Tampa rather than Los Angeles. But I think they have a good chance against either one of those teams in the playoffs. But something happened this week. It just, Aaron Rodgers, and it's clear, it's not even close, and it's not a question. The MVP of the NFL this year is Aaron Rodgers. It's not even close. In the division, he has 36 touchdowns and no interceptions. Now, it's a bad division, but still, 36-0, that's pretty damn good. And he's just so good, and they have the best record. He's just so good. But he's an idiot in many cases. He was an idiot with what he tried to do with lying about his vaccination. He was immunized. Didn't say he was vaccinated, and we just accepted it. Then they found out, but the team knew about it. The league knew about it. But this week, a writer who also works radio in Chicago, Hub Argush, and he's been doing it for a long time. I think he also pretty much the primary guy for, I think it's Pro Football Weekly, but also works with a radio station out in Chicago. But he's a voter for the MVP. And he made it public, which you're not supposed to do, that he will not vote for Aaron Rodgers for the MVP for reasons other than his play on basically who he is and what he is and what he's done and the lying and all the other stuff, which was wrong. And he apologized for doing that. But then he was wrong. And then Aaron Rodgers was asked the question, and he stooped to a level below that. Instead of just letting it pass, he says, instead of just saying, hey, listen, I'm not going to address that. He's got his opinion. I don't agree with it. It should be just based on what you do on the football field. And if people think that I was the most valuable player and they vote for me, that's great. Why can't you just let it pass? But no, he had to address it this way.
I think he's a bum. I think he's an absolute bum. He doesn't know me. I don't know who he is. No one knew who he was probably until yesterday's comments. But I mean, I listened to the comments, but to say he had his mind made up in the summertime, in the off season, that, you know, I had zero chance of winning MVP, in my opinion, should exclude, you know, future votes. You know, his problem isn't with me being a bad guy or the biggest jerk in the league. Because he doesn't know me. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about me. I mean, I've never met him. I've never had lunch with him. I've never had an interview with him. His problem is I'm not vaccinated. You know, so if he wants to go on a crusade and collude and come up with an extra letter to put on the award just for this season and make it the most valuable vaccinated player, then he should do that. but he's a bum. And I'm not going to waste any time worrying about that stuff. He has no idea who I am. He's never talked to me in his life. But it's unfortunate that those sentiments, it's surprising that he would even say that, to be honest. But yeah, I knew this was possible. Talked about it on McAfee weeks ago. But crazy.
All right, let's address this. He doesn't know him. Well, how many people that vote for the MVP sit down and have lunch with a player? That's the most asinine, ridiculous, stupid comment that he can make. And what is a bum? When people call he's a bum, what's a bum? It's just, then he lowers himself to a level that's just totally unnecessary. He doesn't know me. Well, people that vote for you, they know what you do. They look at what you're doing, and that's what you judge it. It was asinine, stupid, and uncalled for by Aaron Rodgers. He's the MVP of the league. But, boy, I'm disappointed in, because I believed Aaron Rodgers has been the best quarterback in the league for a long time, better than Tom Brady. If there's one game that I want a quarterback for, I want Aaron Rodgers. But over Tom Brady, easily. It's not even close, easily. But do you have to lower yourself to that? Just move on. He says he doesn't care, but he does care.
He's an absolute bum.
Yeah, he's an absolute bum. Yeah. What does that mean? What does that mean? You don't know him, so how can you judge him when you don't know him? That's your complaint. He doesn't know you, but you don't know him. I just wanted to address that. It's so pathetic that he has to go that route. It really is pathetic. But that's, he is who he is. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Josh. Josh, you're on WIP.
Hey.
Yo.
What's going on, Howard?
Tell me.
Oh, nothing, man. This here is just Ubering, man. So Nick Sirianni, right? I thought this guy, he was a clown at first. This guy was a whole clown, right? Now,
who?
He won the
Nick
over.
Sirianni was a clown?
Yeah, to me, he seems like a clown at first.
Why?
Well, first of all, you know, all that energy he had, I wasn't buying it. But now I get where the energy was coming from. You know, he's sincere, he's legit. I'm
yes,
all for him now.
So you were ready to get rid of him, and now you've changed your mind?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what changed your mind?
So basically the sincerity of him, you know, he's genuine, you know. I see it now, you know, I see where he's coming from now. That flower thing, I wasn't with that flower thing, but, you know.
It was overstated and overblown, and that wasn't the basis of what he was saying. Yeah.
No, yeah. But he won me over now, and I'm all in.
So now you believe he's a good coach?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I see that.
He's young, but hey.
You're impatient just like a lot of people. Patience is
yes,
a virtue,
sir.
Remember that.
Yes, sir.
All right, what's your best sports moment of 2021?
Yes, best sports moment was when Tom Brady went to the Bucks and won the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, that would not be mine. I appreciate your effort, but I'm going to tell you right, I'll put you in there, but I'm going to tell you it won't win. I don't like Tom Brady. I think I think Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback of all time, and I'm not wavering from that. He never lost a Super Bowl, never threw an interception in the Super Bowl. He didn't pick his own players. The world's changed, and I get it. And Tom Brady is a great quarterback. However, that would not him winning the Super Bowl was not one of my better moments. But I'll put you in there, Josh. But I would be hard pressed to say that you would win. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's go to John. John, you're on WIP.
Morning, Howard. How are you today?
Never had a bad day in my life. Another day in paradise. It's cold. It's a cold paradise out there, and I'm going to freeze tonight, but it is what it is. We've got a job to do.
Absolutely. I don't envy you. I'm a first-time caller to your show. Long-time listener. I respect your opinions. I just want to talk about, like, tonight's game. I'm in agreement with you and I think Angelo during the week that I would like to see the starters in there. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. I think fans should expect to go to a game and have the best product on the field.
And but, I agree with that. Yeah. I do agree with that. Yeah.
But as a fan, after tonight's game, Howard, what would you say our expectations should be beyond the playoffs? Like as far as, you know, the first round draft pick, should we expect to be much better next year because we're going to use our first round draft picks to build
well,
our defense?
Well, much better is the much part of better is, will they be better next year? We absolutely have to expect that the team be better next year. So if they win tonight, then next year they got to win 11 because they would win 10. But they have to be better next year. The league, there's no way that the league can be this bad. The teams can be this mediocre. I'll say mediocre, not bad, but mediocre. So you're going to have to do better, I think, to make the, even though you have seven teams in the playoffs and that extra playoff spot, basically that extra playoff spot made tonight's game irrelevant. And that's the problem because now you get an extra team in the playoffs, but, they have to be better next year. There should be expectations that they should be better next year. Why shouldn't there be expectations that they should be better? They have three first round picks, regardless of how they use them, whether they trade one or two of them, whatever they do, the expectation should be that they have to be better next year. There's no question. So I would expect that, and I think everybody would expect that. And playoffs won't be a question next year. If they don't make the playoffs, it would be a huge next year. It would be a huge, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. But yes, they have to be better. They have to be better.
I appreciate your opinion.
I would expect they would be. All right, John, what's your best sports moment of 2021?
I would say my best sports moment is Simone Biles admitting that she was dealing with mental issues and brought that to the public and made an awareness about mental issues in sports athletes.
All right, you know what? That was a very interesting and dramatic, I'll say a dramatic moment when all that happened. Yeah, that was interesting. It's amazing how many athletes have come out. It's been, she did it, obviously, in the Olympics. That was the I don't even remember these Olympics bounce around from year to year, but it was some kind of international competition. And then there was tennis players that have come out, but I will include you for the $100 gift certificate with a chance to win that from the Bruno Brothers. And I appreciate the call, John. Thanks, man. Thanks for joining the show. Let's go to Harry. Harry, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard.
Hi, good morning.
Funny you should bring up the gentleman by the name of the gentleman in Green Bay. As I lay in a hospital bed trying to recover after a week from COVID.
You're in the hospital right now?
Right now.
Well, it's nice of you to call me.
Thank God you're there.
You know, it's not funny, but you're in the hospital with what, COVID?
Yeah.
Did you get a vaccination?
Yo, double vaccinated, wear a mask everywhere. Just these people who will not get vaccinated, they're spreading it. You know, I'm talking to my people on the outside world. Everyone's got it. Like I'm being discharged today.
No,
I'm going to go home and go to my condo, and I'm going to hibernate. Like, well, actually, the doctor just left the room. He said that because I just had it, my chances of getting it again are very slim. But by the same token, I need the booster. But I've been in here 8 days.
You know what? You know what's amazing, and people, the people, and you were vaccinated, and people are going to say, "See, he was vaccinated, and he got sick." Well, 80%. I saw the statistic last night. 80% of the people in the hospital are unvaccinated. 80%. Now, you're not one of them. You're one of the 20% that have been vaccinated. You haven't gotten the booster yet? You didn't get the booster?
I was supposed to get it, but I'm here.
Yeah. Now you have to wait a little bit, I assume.
So
but
I asked the doctor, I said, you know, what's going on the, you know, the rest of the floor? He said, well, the people who are not vaccinated, they're all on oxygen. They're all on ventilators. I mean, this is not something smoked up.
Yeah, I agree. All right, rather than deal with it, because people aren't going to change their mind, and the unvaccinated are not going to get. It's kind of sad that they're not, but I don't want to. It kind of becomes political.
Like to talk about,
but you wanted to talk about Sirianni, right?
Yeah, I remember his initial press conference, and it was midday. It was pretty lengthy, and I looked over at my coworker. And I said, I like what I hear.
So you didn't bail out on him after like three or four games or five games?
No. I didn't say that. When we started losing, I was like, But I'm telling you, I remember Joe DiCamera and John Ritchie coming on after his press conference and basically calling him a buffoon.
Yeah, that's... They were probably the leaders in getting rid of him, Joe DiCamera especially. And patience is, you know, I don't even know why people didn't give him a chance. And they were clearly, that show was clearly one of the shows.
Well, look, the funny thing is, and God knows, it's nowhere near that level. But I coached since 1996, and I've worked with all ages of players and kids, and it's still the same thing. It's a balance between who needs what and when and how. Someone needs a kick in the ass. Some people need a pat on the back. It all depends on the player. And the way he started explaining it, I thought I liked his theories.
You know, the thing that I tried to sort out, and, you know, I do it because I'm down there all the time, and I as much as we can talk to players, which is not the same nowadays because we can't go in locker rooms and you can kind of briefly talk to them. And the coach, the players respected him and liked him. Now, you can't have one without the other and be a good coach. I think you need both. And he had both, and even through the early season, he had both. And for people not to have patience to let it play out in the first year, and there was no expectations. There was a lot of people didn't have expectations anyway, and yet they bailed. And
well, look, when they came out of the gate and their record was what it was, I started scratching my head a little bit. I'm telling you, from that opening press conference, and people were making fun of him.
Well, that opening press conference was really bad. That was bad.
I liked it.
No, because he was trying to do too many things for too many people. You know, he gets the people there that say, hey, listen, say this, don't say this, and he had all these notes. Just be yourself. And now that he's himself, he's very good at these, for the most part, he's very good at these news conferences. And I'll tell you, he's not going to tell you everything because they're told not to tell you everything. But he shows a personality, and he has a personality and a connection with the players. All right, what's your best sports moment of 2021?
Oh, God, I don't even have one.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just giving you a chance here. No problem. Well, get well. Sorry that you're in the hospital, and the fact that you made the call from the hospital room, I hope it made your day a little bit better, and good luck getting out of there today. Thanks for the call. 215-592-9494. 94 WIP on a Saturday morning. All right, let me take you back to January 11th, 1981. This is a cowboy moment. And back then, when you got to this part of January, you were in the playoffs. Now, and just wait another year or so, playoffs won't start till the mid, actually probably the third week of January. I mean, it's going to be ridiculous with the amount of games. But whatever the case may be, people want to see football games. So January 11th, 1981, let's hear it.
Jaworski gives off inside, running with Montgomery up the right side. Left 30, 25, 40, 15, 10, touchdown! How about Montgomery? Montgomery explodes on the right side, and the Eagles have scored first.
Wilbert Montgomery, one of the storied running backs in the Philadelphia Eagles franchise history, sixth round draft pick, 1981, and then they ended up losing in that Super Bowl, beating Dallas to get to the Super Bowl. The game was here on, you remember, it was a bad field at Veterans Day. When we look back at those fields, we accepted it, and we thought artificial surfaces, and they were called AstroTurf, was good. Those fields were brutal, but that was a big moment, and that was a big part of the Eagles beating the Cowboys on that day, January 11th, right around this date in 1981. But that was a moment. Those are one of the moments that we will remember in Eagles Cowboys. And I'm sure there's people that do remember them. So it's all good. All right, let's go to, who's that? Hansa? Is that the next caller?
Yeah, Kyle? It's Hamza.
Hansa. I'm sorry, Hansa. I apologize.
You're good, my man. How are you, Howard Askin?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. It's the first time I've ever talking to you. I always hear you on the Joe Giglio show. I really like your opinions and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Well, thanks. Well, it's nice of you to call on Saturday morning. It's great to have you on.
No problem. I just wanted to talk about some Eagles, man, like Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. I hate when people say in the beginning of the season, like, I'm a big Jalen Hurts fan and Nick Sirianni fan. Everybody in the beginning of the season is saying, they're not the same. They're not going to be the QB. He's not going to be the coach. I'm like, man, just give him till this whole season and then decide at the end of the season whether you guys like him or not. Can't judge him based off of the first season. And, like, we're in the playoffs now. So what are people who are saying? You know what I'm saying?
All right, so I'm going to ask you, did you, and be honest, did you bail out on him early in the season?
I swear to God. Everybody was saying fire him. I swear to God, I was one of the only few people saying let him finish the season, and then we'll decide based off the off season or next year. You can't judge somebody based off their first year, especially a head coach, especially since this is basically a new team with a lot of new offensive players. You know what I'm saying? New defensive coordinator.
Right.
It really makes sense to me.
All right. So now tonight's game. What does it mean to you? I mean, it's Eagles Cowboys, but it's a preseason game. It's kind of sad to say that because it's the regular season.
Right, it is. It feels like that. And you know what's crazy? My brother actually works for some art gallery place, and his boss, his son, had two tickets on the sixth row. I believe each one cost like $800 each. My brother's ended up going today.
He is going.
Yeah, he is actually going.
That's all right. It's a football game, so you'll enjoy it. It'll be a little cold out there, but you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, it's going to be cold as heck.
I'm sure the Eagles got all the snow cleared out because there'd be some nitwit that would gather up some snow and throw a snowball at the Cowboys as they're coming off the field. So I'm sure they cleaned up the field or cleaned up the stands. Forget about the field, the stands. What's that?
Do you think we're going to see a lot of Cowboys fans? Like in the city today?
Yeah, because it's their only chance to see them. Those losers, and I haven't heard from any of those losers this morning. They know their Cowboys are in trouble. They're not going to a Super Bowl. They are not going to the Super Bowl. Flat out not. They got an idiot as a head coach. They got a team that just can't win at the end. Dak Prescott is, talk about leaking oil. There's another quarterback that's leaking, and he's one of the guys leaking oil. Their running game is almost non-existent anymore. Their offensive line is not even close to what it was before. It's unbelievable. They're not a really good team now. They were at the beginning, and they're not now. But they would. I said throughout the season, they will find a way not to get to the Super Bowl. And they're going to find a way not to get to the Super Bowl. So what's your best sports moment of 2021?
I guess you would say is when they started Jalen Hurts besides Carson Wentz. That's when I felt like, you know, Jalen Hurts could really take off for this team.
Yeah, but was that wasn't in 2021.
Was it not in 2021?
No, because
at the end of the 20, yeah.
Well, he started this year, but he started the year before.
That's true. All right, let me rephrase it. When Jalen Hurts started this year's season.
Okay, well, that wouldn't beat some of the others, but I appreciate you jumping in there, Hansa. I get it right this time. All right, Hansa, have a great weekend. Let's go to Brian. Brian, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's up, Howard?
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. So listen, so far, Sirianni, I think anybody that's calling this station is a true Eagles fan. If they say, no, I was on board from the very beginning, I want to give him the year to make his, you know, make a decision at the end of the year, they're liars. They're absolute liars. Listen, I wanted him going after the third game of the season. I'm going to be straight up with you. But
there's the truth serum at work. There's the truth serum.
To be honest, to be completely honest with you, listen, Howard, I've been listening. I'm 47 years old, right? I've been listening to you since I was in junior high school, all right?
That's a good thing.
If I can change
my opinion a lot.
On you, yeah, if I can change my opinion on you, I definitely can change my opinion on Sirianni. I mean, I think he'll be okay. I still have my reservations about him. Simple fact that, you know, this defense started off slow, and I know he's not the defensive coordinator, but he's the head coach, and he can say
okay,
something
so what,
about
what are your what start. Are your reservations?
The simple fact, like, you know, all right, so I got in a huge argument the other night with Joe Giglio, right? Because Joe Giglio talking about the numbers and how how Gannon is such a good coach on defense because of the numbers. But my thing is this. Why do we have to, like, play this lazy defense in the first half, get behind, and then decide to make changes in the second half? Why not start off every game the same way?
Okay, so here's what I'm going to tell you. The players have to shoulder some of the responsibility. Come on now, the players play the game. So the coach
true.
Can
and,
just
and
put...
I'll be the first to admit, on defense, we just don't have the personnel. But if you have a defensive coordinator that really knows what he's doing, you can hide your deficiency. Well, but you, we come out
no,
with
you
this
can't.
Vanilla defense.
If,
I think you can, Howard.
The,
be, really
the best way, the I mean, really, the best thing that a defense can have is a solid front four so you don't have to blitz. You blitz occasionally, but everybody wants blitz. You want more guys in coverage because you want turnovers. Turnovers are the game. That's what changes a game. And if you're starting to bring a lot of people and against good quarterbacks, it's difficult. And early in the year, they were playing good quarterbacks. They were playing, I mean, almost everybody except San Francisco. I think that guy's a stiff.
And we lost all those games.
But they were good quarter. You're talking about Brady, Mahomes, Justin Herbert. I mean, you're kidding me. We're playing. You just can't.
But you know what, Howard? In some of those games, we was actually in it. If we'd have played a different type of defense in key moments.
But again, I go back to the players.
Like one or two of those games.
Players have to make plays. And I don't know what it was that took T.J. Edwards to start playing more. Maybe T.J. Edwards didn't show him enough in practice, then he started to show him more. We don't know the inner workings, but I think Jonathan Gannon is a good defensive coordinator. I don't think they have good – and here's what – I don't think they have good enough players – enough good enough players on defense. When you look at look at it this way, Brian. What area of the team do you think the Eagles should draft in the first round?
Linebacker.
Okay, defense. Defense, right? Defense.
Yes.
Okay. Well, and now you're complaining about the defense, but yet you're telling me they're not good enough because that's where they got the draft. They've got to get better personnel wise on defense. They've got to get better. That's it.
Yeah.
They got to get better. So, all right, what's your sports moment?
I don't know if this has been said, right, because I came on, like, maybe about 20 minutes ago, right?
Okay.
I don't necessarily think it's a moment. It's not a good moment, but the firing of Doug Peterson.
That was a good moment?
No, I said I'm not going to say it was a good moment, but it was a moment.
That's kind of an interesting perspective. That's kind of, you know what? I'm gonna put you in the mix. I don't know that it'll win because there's some other good ones. But I don't know. You know, when I think back in it, I almost expected it. And when you expect it, it's maybe not as big. But that's all right. I appreciate you calling, and I appreciate you jumping in. And see, you changed your opinion on me first years ago, and then you changed your opinion on Sirianni. That's good. Two good decisions by you. All right, have a great weekend. By the way, I see somebody calling from San Antonio. Let me go. Hey, Kyle, let's go to Brittany in San Antonio.
Got it.
Is she there?
Yeah. Hey, Howard, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, perfect. Sorry, I'm working this morning. Been listening to you. This is my first time calling in. I'll say
I love your opinion today.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I had to. Today, I've been listening, and the whole we need to start our players for the fans that have paid their money to see this last game, to me, I think it's a little bit nonsense. I mean, I get the sentiment, but anybody who's buying that ticket, they know that the last game of the season can mean a lot or it can mean nothing. You buy it with the losers at risk. So I just think it's kind of crazy for us to talk about risking the health or injury, whatever it is, of our players for one game. Because look,
okay, but here's the deal, Brittany. The Dallas Cowboys, the fans didn't schedule the Cowboys as the last game of the season. The NFL did. What they should have done is schedule the Cowboys on the next to last week of the season, knowing that it almost has to be an important game. If you want the Eagles-Cowboys to be big because you want it on national television, then you should have scheduled, in the schedule, it should have been the next to last game of the season, and then it would have meant something. And then people wouldn't have cared as much with this last game playing, let's say they play Washington. They wouldn't have cared as much. But now there's more care because you want to see a real Eagles-Cowboys game. And this is not a real Eagles Cowboys game.
We might be able to, if we can get past, if we stay healthy and we can win these next two games, although not likely. If we have to go through Green Bay, not that likely. But again, if we're able to stay healthy, we got two games. Think about it, two games in front of us that we need to play. We've gone 7-2 over the last 9 games. Two games to look at, guys. That's it. If we can get there, then we'll have a Cowboys game that we can talk about for a long time.
I don't know that we'll talk about the Cowboys game because, well, let's see what happens tonight. Brittany, are you a Philadelphian in San Antonio?
I am not. I am just a hardcore, super passionate Philadelphia Eagles fan, and it probably scares everyone down here in San Antonio. But
well,
yeah,
how the heck did you become an Eagles fan in San Antonio?
So, you know what? I've called in one time, John Marks and Ike Reese. And just explain the fact that Brian Dawkins did it for me. So he's, like, he exemplifies what I feel like a football player should be. It's passionate. It's rough. It's a lot. And he embodies all of that. And now I'm happy to say, I got Jason Kelce. I got a runner-up in, like, my all-time Eagles player. I mean, just, I couldn't have been connected to a better organization, just fandom. And it started for me, like, it's crazy, like 10 years old. I was born and raised in Chicago. But, besides Urlacher, there's not a thing about the Bears that I like. The Eagles has just always been it for me. Yeah.
Damn. Well, that is amazing. In San Antonio, it's not a place that I'd want to live, but I hope you enjoy it.
I will. Yeah, it's fun down here. It's fun to mess with all the Cowboys fans. It's a great time.
They're a bunch of losers. They are a bunch of losers.
Yeah, they do, and they hide their hats sometimes. When the season's not going well, they don't put on their gear. When the season starts to go great, then everyone's in their Cowboys fandom. But not me. I dress in Philadelphia head to toe most days, even when we were 2-5, Howard. Yes, when we were 2-5.
Well, Brittany, I'd ask you what your moment was, but I don't think there's a DeBruno brothers in San Antonio.
Oh, my moment. I guess I'll call it this. I'll call it my Minshew moment.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah, that's kind of when they hugged. Yeah, everything was about Gardner Minshew that day. They did play the Jets, but everything was about Gardner Minshew. But it was a good moment. All right. Hey, Brittany, I appreciate the call. Take care of things in San Antonio. Tell those Cowboys fans that they are cockroaches and they suck.
Every day.
Okay. All right. Have a great weekend and happy new year. 215-592-9494. We'll take some more calls. We'll get your best sports moment of 2021 for the DeBruno Brothers $100 gift certificate. And also, Mark Lawrence will join us when we come back. WIP Sports Time is now 9:39. 94 WIP on a Saturday morning on a wonderful weekend of football. It's two games today. Boy, they have so much meaning. The games tomorrow, they have so much meaning. Well, he tried to sort through it. To help us sort through this would be Mark Lawrence. Mark, how are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good, Howard. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's just what a great weekend of football. They scheduled a 17th week, and more than half the games don't mean a damn thing. Let me correct that. To the NFL, they mean a lot because it's another week of television. So it's more money. More money, more money, more money. So, all right, so how do you look at these games this weekend? I mean, it's so hard. How do you look at the games?
Well, the thing that I look to do is to avoid the games where you're paying a luxury tax, and that luxury tax being these teams that are in must-win situations where the price in the game is as much as a touchdown or more than it normally would be. The odds makers know exactly which way the public is going to go on those games, and they pad the prices. And because of that, I'll look elsewhere. I like to look basically more at teams that are either getting the value in situations like that or a game where we can handicap the game as it would normally be played with a normal line. So just a little bit of a buyer beware. Stay away from these games, laying these big points with these teams that have to win.
All right, so who do you like? Who do you pick out of this weekend?
Well, it's a bit of an ugly mess, as you mentioned, coming into the weekend here. And I'm going to use a couple of things that I do. That there's one angle that I use in the National Football League, which is real good. It's called Y3 Revenge. What it means is that division teams have triple revenge exact, not four, five, or six revenge, but triple revenge exact. And when these teams dress up as road underdogs, they are terrific in these roles. And there's two of them this week that I'm going to look at because they run the ball and the other team can't stop the run. The first is going to be Carolina taking the points against Tampa Bay, who will most likely rest their regulars, the Tampa Bay Bucks. And Tampa Bay is playing with revenge from a 32-6 loss they took at home just two games ago against Tampa Bay. That revenge is fresh in their mind. But what I really like about the game is Matt Rhule. We've talked about him before in the past, where how well he plays in games on the road in both his college and NFL careers. He's 38-18 to the spread when he's on the road. I got to grab him plus the 8 points against Tampa Bay tomorrow.
Okay, who else?
The other guy is going to be Cincinnati taking six against Cleveland in a game where you're taking advantage of the luxury tax. The Bengals open up in the game as 3.5-point favorites. No Joe Burrow, and the game moves dramatically the other way. There's no Baker Mayfield for the Browns, which may end up being a plus for Cleveland before it's all said and done. But, again, triple revenge exact for Cincinnati. You have a division champion that's been taken out three times in a row by the last-place team in the division. I think Cincinnati comes and plays as hard as they can to get ready for the playoffs here. It may not be with regulars, but Cleveland is also a team that has raised the white flag. I have no problem taking 6 points with Cincinnati.
Okay, so using that that theory, San Francisco needs the game. So you'd figure the line would be lower than it should be because, I mean, the Rams are in the playoffs. Okay, they need it to win the division. But the 49ers, if they lose, they might be out of the playoffs. So do you look at the Rams because by that theory, it should be a little – the price isn't as high as it should be against the 49ers?
Well, I don't know if the price isn't as high, and that's arguable, just given the fact that the Rams are being priced, number one, because they need the win to win the division. So they're being priced accordingly that way. Mm-hmm. And number two, San Francisco comes in here, as far as a handicap goes, playing maybe the best football in the National Football League right now. They've won seven of their last nine games. They need the win to get the division. They can get to make the playoffs. They can make the playoffs with a little bit of help elsewhere. So I don't think the game is being overly taxed or overly priced or undertaxed or underpriced because of this. I think it's in there because the Rams need this win to be able to secure first place in their division.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like you like the game anyway.
No, I don't know.
You know what? Where does Washington deserve to be a 7-point favorite? On the road. On the
like
road.
Never, you know, right. Well, you know, it's really unique in the sense that we call this out in our newsletter. It's our awesome angle in our newsletter, and all it basically says is that your last game of the season, you're a losing team, you're a road favorite, and you're taking on a division opponent, and those teams are ugly, 1-15 against the spread. That's the role Washington dresses up this week against New York. Now, nobody really wants to hurry to New York with Mike Glennon looking as ugly as he has at quarterback. But the bottom line here is it's the New York Giants. It's a division game, and the Washington Redskins should not be favored in the contest.
And it is a revenge game, too.
It is a revenge game on top of it, exactly. So if you're going to get anything out of the New York Giants, it will be on Sunday against Washington, who might well have thrown up the white flag as well.
All right, the Eagles game, how do you even look at this game? The line's moved all over the place, but who's playing, who's not playing? Do you have any semblance of liking a side in this game?
Well, it's difficult to do, but I do know this. I do know that in Vegas, the Sharps are betting the Eagles in the game. A lot of the public is coming the other way for the America's team, the Cowboys, but the Sharps like Philadelphia in the contest. And if that's an indicator to the right side of the game, so be it. I could only take the points in the football game with Philadelphia playing some pretty good football here right now. And I think Dallas is a vastly overrated commodity right now. I mean, yes, they could lose and go into the playoffs on three losses, but you know, the truth of the matter is I think Dallas is tremendously overrated, and Philadelphia is perhaps not getting their just due for the way they played the second half of the season. I have to take the points with the Eagles.
All right. If people have interest in next week, we'll talk about the real games again, and that'll be the playoffs. If people have interest in Mark's services, it's 1-800-321-7777 or on the internet, playbooksports.com. Mark, you have a great weekend. We'll get back to some real football, real football next week when the playoffs start, and we'll take a look at it then. By the way, just a quick note, which side do you like on Monday night?
Well, I think it's going to be a really, really good defensive battle. I like the under total in the football game, and put a gun to my head, I'd take the points with Alabama. Just simply due to the fact that the pressure's all on Georgia looking to avenge that win. And I don't know if they can beat Alabama, so I'd play Bama and the under would be my two sides in the game.
Okay. All right, Mark. Have a great weekend.
I want to enjoy the games. Thanks, people.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Phil. Phil, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard.
Yes.
One thing that I'll always remember, and I'm a big baseball fan, and I remember when my kid in Little League won a game at the last at bat. Luke Williams coming up in June against the Braves, a walk-off home run for the Phillies, bottom of the ninth. That's it.
That's your moment, huh?
Absolutely, as a baseball fan.
You know
what? At any level, Howard.
Did Luke Williams do anything after that? I'm trying to remember whether he did anything after that.
He didn't have to. Two outs, bottom of the ninth. The kid hit one out to win the game for the Phillies. As a baseball fan, I'll always remember something like that.
All right, Kyle, do you have the audio of that?
I do.
All right, let's play that.
Against Luke Williams, the 0-1 pitch. Swung on, line left field, pretty deep. Going back, Haredi, he looks up, it is gone! It's a walk-off home run! The first homer in the career of Luke Williams! An amazing moment in an amazing week in the life of Luke Williams!
That's amazing. All right, Phil, we will put you in the mix. And let me see if I can get a couple more calls here. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on WIP.
Howard.
Yes.
Nice to talk to you, buddy.
Same here.
Hey, listen, do you think the mayor could have said to the NFL, you can't play the game Saturday night? We have the Flyers playing, and it might cause a lot of trouble for people with the traffic and everything.
Well, then we go against what he said. This is a town of wussies.
Yeah, so, exactly. I think somebody. You know,
I'm talking about Rendell now. The mayor now is irrelevant because the guy, it's the worst mayor in my lifetime in the city.
Well, I know that
life.
For sure.
So,
anyway, it was just
horrible.
A thought. I think the best moment for us Eagle fans was the signing of Nick Sirianni as the coach.
You know what? I don't know that would win, but it's an interesting moment. I appreciate the call, Jim. I'm just trying to get a few more people in. Lamont. What the hell do you want today?
Hey, good morning, Howard.
Your Cowboys aren't going anywhere, by the way.
Howard, our Cowboys is here, Howard. me and your Cowboys are here. Remember that?
Yeah, okay.
I remember
they're not,
you
they're not going to, they're not even getting close to the Super Bowl. They're going to have to buy a ticket to get there.
Hey, Howard, I don't want to get to the second round. That's all, Howard. Once I get to the second round, then I can talk to you about that Super Bowl.
Boy, that's short-lived. Yeah. Boy, what weak expectations. All right. Do you have a moment?
No, Howard, I don't have
all right, let me move on. I'm going to try to get some other callers in here. Anthony, you're on WIP.
Yeah, did somebody say the Braves win the World Series yet?
The Braves with the World Series. That is a good moment, but I don't know that people in Philadelphia would really like that.
I just thought it was it's watching them go from 30-33 and then losing Acuña and making that.
Yeah,
comeback.
I mean that's a pretty good moment. All right, I'll qualify you. All right,
no.
Quickly, what was your Sirianni? Did you have a Sirianni comment?
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, okay. All right, let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on WIP.
All right, Howard, I'll try to give you a hand with getting other callers on. I'll go right to the question. No big
go
deal.
Go ahead.
It's a moment. Doesn't have to be Philadelphia necessarily.
Correct.
Every
yeah,
year
correct.
There's a baseball winner like that previous caller. How about impact of the Supreme Court allowing college athletes to benefit from their image? Never been done before. And
well,
it's,
let me
it's
just say that I have a problem with that. Because college athletics are no longer amateur athletics.
Well,
and
real
I have
quick,
a problem.
Howard. So you're an athlete.
Doesn't matter.
You blow a foul shot. Everyone gambles through DraftKings or whatever. You work
well,
at
they
McDonald's.
Gamble with the sports books.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.